Well, good morning. Glad to see everyone here today. And surprise, surprise, you're thinking, man, Pastor Theron really, really aged well this week. Man, you're like, oh, great, someone new, awesome. Well, has the same name, so sorry to, yep. Well, welcome to part four of a seven-part series that we've titled Red Letter. And I want to stop right here and welcome our online church with us this morning. We're so glad to call you part of our family. Everybody give it up for Facebook Live today. So today we're 3 weeks away from the greatest day in history, Easter Sunday, and we're preparing a message and a celebration fitted for the risen King. So, you know, most people attend that Sunday more than any other Sunday of the year. People who don't normally go to church will go to church on Easter Sunday. And those who get an invitation, who normally would say no to an invitation any other part of the year, would actually say yes, and they're more likely to say yes on Easter Sunday. And so that being said, Easter Sunday is not just an event just for us and no more, but it's for us just to have a great time and to celebrate the risen King and the resurrection. But it's also a great opportunity for you to invite people. And Crosspoint exists for others. We don't do this just for ourselves. And so you heard me talk about them a little bit in today's Crosspoint News, and that we have invite cards at the Information Center today. So as you leave, go ahead and grab a stack of those and use them intentionally throughout your sphere of influence to give people an invitation to join you for church on Easter. And so leading up to that, between today and Palm Sunday, we're in a seven-part series where we are looking at the red letters, the words of Jesus, and the traits of Jesus. And so today in your worship guides, you will find some message notes for you to follow along and take notes if you would like. And we'll also have everything up here on the screens. And let's just start out with our theme verse for this series, which is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I like how it says it plainly in the Message version. And it says, "You'll remember, friends, that when I came to you, I didn't try to impress you with polished speeches and the latest philosophy. I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, and then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified." And that's what we're doing here today and throughout each Sunday. We're trying to make this plain and simple, just taking you through what the Bible says, not our words, but God's words, and talking about the attributes of Jesus. And here's why. And that is, a lot of us and a lot of people in church today have a very distorted view of God. And in fact, a lot of us that were even raised in church have some of the most distorted views of God. We have all these ideas and perceptions, especially about Jesus, what he looks like and what he did, where he went, and that's just different from what the Bible says. And that's because a lot of times it's tradition, it's religion, it's paintings, it's historical art, it's church experiences, it's Hollywood movies, and all these different things that we've been exposed to throughout our life that have basically shown Jesus in a light that doesn't exist and it is not biblical. And if we have a flawed view of who Jesus is, we will also have a flawed relationship with him, a relationship that doesn't work. So we're looking today at his words, which reveal many traits about Jesus, so that we can know him better. The words of Jesus are powerful, and they were powerful enough to change your life. So we're trying to set the record straight in all these. So in part one, we revealed that Jesus, as the person, fully God and fully man, that he experienced life, which qualifies him to be our best friend. In part two, it was revealed that Jesus is the teacher, that he didn't just sit on the side of the hill and tell us what to do, but he led by example. And that because of that, we can do and have the power to do it ourselves. And so last week, my father talked about in part three, we talked about Jesus as the miracle worker. That we tried to explain to you the mystery of miracles and tried to unpack it a little bit and the fact that they are in operation still today. And so today we're going to talk about Jesus is my shepherd. Now I want you to look right back in your message notes, and we'll look at the text for today that's found in John chapter 10, in verse 10, and it says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." And that's talking about the devil. That's his goal. That's the only things he does is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life, and you may have it to the full." And he says, "I am the good shepherd." Now Jesus, this was probably his favorite description of himself. And his favorite description of the church was the flock. I don't know if you've realized this or not, but there are several metaphors for the relationship between us, the church, and Jesus. And one of those metaphors is that we are a family. You've heard that the church is the family of God and that Christians are the family of God. It refers to the church as a family, which means, by the way, that this whole thing of, about church is not supposed to be just some big prestigious type of institution or some huge sprawling organization with a bunch of titles and committees and conferences, but we're supposed to be a family based on relationships and nothing more. And another description of the church is called the body or the church of fellowship, which means there ought to be unity. Another term is the body. We're the body of Christ. You've heard that term before, which means, by the way, that we all have a function. And the reason that's important is because a lot of us, a lot of our people in the church, they really haven't found their part. They don't know what body part they are in the church, and they're not functioning in that part. And so that's why you hear it a lot. That's why the growth track exists here at Crosspoint. So you could find your spot, your function in the body. And that's because he never intended you just to observe from the outside. He wanted you to be a part of it, and it actually makes your life more meaningful when you do. And then last description, though, of the church and Jesus and the relationship between the two is the one we're going to describe more in depth today. And that is that we're a flock and that Jesus is our shepherd. And you'll see this in Psalm 100, and it's on your notes and on the screen there, in verse 3, and it says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And let me tell you why I like this. When I first started unpacking this late this week, and I know you're thinking, you know, it's a surprise for me to be up here. Well, it's just as much of a surprise as me. I found out yesterday at noon that I was going to be speaking, so it's great. So I found out that basically the closest English word to the word shepherd is the word pastor, P-A-S-T-O-R, pastor. In fact, in the New Testament, the word pastor and shepherd are the same word in the Greek, and they're actually used interchangeably. Poimen is the Greek word. And they're used interchangeably to talk about the same thing. So this is how I'd like for you to think about it today, that Jesus is my pastor. Everyone needs a pastor, even if he also happens to be your father. I get, you know, two for one, two for, anyway. And so everyone needs a good pastor. And we need someone who loves us, who is caring for us, who's watching over us. And I hope you have one. And if you don't have a pastor, everyone needs a pastor. You really do. And I'm not just talking about a pastor in a church or a person, and all of us need that, but what we also need is the Lord as our pastor, as our shepherd. And in fact, there's one verse in the Bible where both relationships, talking about an earthly pastor and your heavenly father, are mentioned in the same context in your notes in 1 Peter chapter 5, and he's talking to pastors here. So pastors, colon, here we go. It says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve." And he goes on to say, "Not lording over it entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." And so my goal is very simple here today in this message, and that is that I want you to know Jesus that way, as your shepherd. I want you to leave here with a pastor, and I'm not talking about me or my father or a church, but although you need that somewhere, my real goal is that you have the comfort that is found in the flock of Jesus and the love and the care that you'll experience that you have when Jesus is your pastor. And so that's what I thought I'd do today, and that is probably the most beautiful description of Jesus as a shepherd is found in the most famous psalm, Psalm 23. And, you know, if you grew up in church, you probably heard this a lot or have it memorized, but here's how it goes. It says, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." You notice I'm looking at it because I don't know it myself. Anyway, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We're going to talk about that later. "And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that good, everyone? Isn't that good? Yes, and the Lord is my shepherd. So here's what I want to do today. At first, this message was going to be called The Shepherd. You know, red letters in Jesus is the shepherd. You know, we've had the teacher and the miracle worker. But I like it the way Psalm 23 says it. He's He's my shepherd. There's a difference between he's the shepherd and he's my shepherd. And my hope today is that you know him that intimately, that you leave here with a deep relationship with the one who wants to be your pastor, who cares for you and loves you. There are many, many attributes of Jesus, but we just today have only six to write down today if you're taking notes. And so here's the first one, and that is that Jesus is the shepherd, but the shepherd provides. He provides. So starting off at the very beginning, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It literally means in the Hebrew, I will lack nothing. And he'll make sure that you're cared for, which some of you are thinking, oh, well, no, Theron, there were times I've been a Christian, and it's for a long time, and there were times where, you know, it was rough, it was tough, nothing was working out. You know, I thought God's supposed to be looking out for me. It's tough. It's not all rosy. We've all had tough times. And it's those times, I believe, that shape you and mold your character to become the person you are today. I really believe that there are times that the Lord actually lets us walk through little pieces of difficulty and they're here and there to shape our character and to make us better people. And at the end of the day, everyone who has been through tough times that serves the Lord can declare that Jesus is a faithful God, that he never lets you down. He never lets this church down. When we think that there's no more Sunday left or there's no more finances left, he is always faithful. This building is a testament to that. He is always faithful. It's true. And you can ask anybody who's left, and they'll say the same thing, that Jesus, that I've had difficult times, and that God is, but God has always been faithful to me. And that is what I want for you to know about this relationship, this security that comes through knowing that he's just taking care of you, that every situation, good or bad, he is really taking care of us. And for every situation, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Many times we get all self-sufficient or get out from underneath the protection and the care of our pastor, whether it's our Heavenly Father or the pastor of a church, a local body of believers to be accountable to, and the shepherd of our soul, Jesus, and we kind of take care of ourselves. But he wants to be your provision. The Bible says this about Jesus in Philippians chapter 4, when it says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." The first attribute of the shepherd is that he's the one who takes care of our needs. You say, well, how do I get up under that? How do I get up under his wing? God's children will stay under the care of their father as long as their relationship remains pure and right. And we need to stay up under the care of our pastor. God says, honor me with the first things, the first fruits, to let me know that you still think I'm your source. As God is speaking, I'm going to take care of you. It's a fact. And also, number one is the shepherd provides. And number two, here's the second one. That is that the shepherd restores. And anyone who's ever walked through anything difficult, you know, it sucks everything out of you. It drains you. It takes something out of you. Physically, emotionally, stress causes physical conditions. But all of us need seasons where we just need to be restored. You know, we like to say that when you walk into Crosspoint, that you experience a breath of fresh air where you can just take a deep breath. It's 4 o'clock in studio in architecture school and you are stressed out to your eyeballs and you just can take a deep breath. I don't know why I said that. It might be personal experience. And anyway, I'm licensed, so who cares? All right, awesome. And so the psalm says, he makes me lie down. David says, he makes me lie down. Have you ever thought about why he words it that way, that he makes us lie down? Because we probably won't do it ourselves. He has to make us lie down. He has to make us rest, and we don't want to go there sometimes because we're just so busy with the hectic nature of life. But some of us don't even understand or know the quality of Jesus as our peace in this world. And Jesus said in John chapter 14, in your notes, it says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." He just wants to be the peace of our lives. Some of us need, as he said in the next part of the psalm, the green pastures. You know what green pastures are? The pastures that were the place where the shepherds would lead their sheep to feed. I really believe that that's the word of God. There is comfort in the Word of God. So comfort food is the Word of God. Here is a question. So when is the last time you just sat on the hillside figuratively or literally, and fed yourself. And not just a little daily devotional from the Bible app for the day where you rush through while eating a muffin and drinking coffee on your way to work or taking the kids to school. But when's the last time you really sat down and fed yourself the Word of God and feeding yourself on the comfort of the Word of God? The psalm says, He makes me lie down in green pastures, the Word of God, and leads me beside the still waters. I think that's worship. In times of prayer, you also have worship to go along with that. And there are those of us here today where you just need to turn the radio off, turn the news off, deactivate Twitter for a week, and then turn the worship on. Then when you deactivate Twitter, you can check in a week and see how many notifications you got and make yourself feel good. Anyway. Okay, some of y'all do that with Facebook. Okay. So let the still waters of God restore your soul. Some of us need a restoration. And honestly, some of us are in need of a restoration. Pastor Theron needed a break today. He can rest, and you're welcome. So some of us need a restoration. And only the shepherd can provide it. And you're only going to find restoration in God, not through any other source. And so I encourage you, I strongly recommend you to spend time with God this week, every day, listening to worship, spending time in his presence to get restored. And so I looked up the word restore yesterday, and in the Hebrew, you know what it literally means, the word restore? It means to return back to the point of departure. And I think all of us have moments where we departed from where we needed to be. I do that all the time if it makes you feel any better. You know, restoration brings you back from the point of departure. And honestly, I believe that only the Lord can bring you back to that place of rest in the root of the word restore. And so number two, the shepherd restores. And number three, if you turn your message notes over to the back, it says, number three, the shepherd leads. He leads. The next part of the psalm, Psalm 23, says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Let me say it this way. He leads in right paths. In other words, as you live life, and all of us know this, is that there are a lot of choices out there. Listen to me closely. There are paths out there that aren't the right path. There are paths out there that aren't the right path. And if you take it, you're going to find yourself in trouble. There are some paths, it's the right path. And it's the path that goes on to say that has his namesake on it. God's namesake on that path. And there is a path that if you took it, it has God's name on it. And if you take that path, the path with his name on it, it's going to bring fulfillment every time. It's going to make your world make sense. Let me be clear. I hope you know the sincerity for which I say this. The reason why we strongly encourage you to join the Dream Team and to be a part of the Dream Team, and I hope this doesn't hurt your feelings, but it's not because we need you. It is not a volunteer or recruitment drive for volunteers to stack chairs or clean the bathroom. And that team is huge, by the way. I'm just kidding. Anyway, joke. Okay. So, yeah, I laughed a lot harder at that joke yesterday than y'all did today. And but it's for you to say that you would have it, and the church will always run better if you're a part of it, and it will. And you know why we do it? Because everyone needs to find the right path that has your name on it. Our biggest dream isn't for me, isn't for Pastor Theron, isn't for the umbrella of Crosspoint. The biggest dream is for you. Not to make our name great, but to make his name great through the works that you are doing in the context of Crosspoint. And if you would live your life in such a way that you think, man, I found something that makes an eternal difference. I don't have to do this, but I love to do this. I get to do this. This is the highlight of my week. It's going to change your life. It's a fact. And so starting next week, we're going to start the Growth Track fresh again with step one next Sunday at noon. It's for you. We'd love to see you there. But he leads me. It's the path of righteousness. We need to submit our plan to his plan, our will to his will, and our way to his way. And many ask, well, how do I know God's plan for my life? A lot of young people will say, well, how do I know God's plan for my life? It's very simple. And Jesus spelled it out for us in John chapter 10, which is in your notes, and starting in verse 3b, it says, the sheep listen to his voice in the context of the shepherd analogy. He says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep follow him because they know his voice. And it goes on to say, in verse 5 it says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And that is true. And if you go to Israel, you'll see that this is how it works, that the sheep will not follow a stranger's voice. And you say, well, how does God lead? You know what his voice sounds like. Let me say it this way, that all of us have friends that if they call us, they don't have to say, hey, this is Theron. Hey, this is Kim. No, well, you don't have to say that. Why? Because you talk to them a lot. You don't have to introduce yourself every time or say your name because you know their voice right off the bat. That's the kind of relationship we need to have with the Lord and that the Lord wants to have with us. And if you don't know his voice, have you spent enough time with him? If you spent enough time with him, you start to recognize his voice. The secret is to spend time with him, where he has the distinct voice to speak into your life, a distinct voice that only you understand, daily communication with the Lord. And tragically, too many believers, their only communication with God is once a week during a 70-minute service. And I hope that's not true with you. We need to have this daily communication, a daily walk, our daily bread with the shepherd, where the shepherd leads us. So number three is the shepherd leads, and on to point number four, the shepherd supports. The shepherd supports. He supports me. He supports you. The next part of the psalm in Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not worried. Why? Because he's with me. Because he's with me. Paul said that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Has anyone ever felt deserted? But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength. Listen to me closely. When you're at the graveside, he's there. When you're at the bedside, he's there. When you have no more answers, he's there. In the emergency room, he's there. In the courtroom, he's there. In the testing center, he's there. When you're in bed crying all alone, he's there. When it may seem like everyone else has left you and deserted you, he's there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus wants to be your pastor. He's there. And all of us need to know that he's there. He's watching over your soul, and he's a shepherd that supports us. Number four, the shepherd supports. And number five, the shepherd defends. He's the shepherd who defends. And what I mean by that is that any time that you are attacked, the Bible says that his rod and his staff, in Psalms 23, his rod and his staff comfort me. If you want to go back, you could underline the word comfort on the first page. His rod and staff comfort me. Now, I want to take a time, a little second here, to clarify what I think is, we all think, this has been a really big abuse in the church. And a lot of us grew up in places where pastors abused us. And what I mean by that is that they beat you up with the word. You better stop that. You better stop it. You better stop it. You better stop it. No, no, no. Always negative. You might have been taught that any time that you get out of line, that rod that is used in that analogy, pow, you know, you're gonna get hit over the head in the south with the rod, you know. But he's going to use that hook to pull you, the hook of the staff, to pull you back in line when you run off. And listen closely, that rod, he wouldn't say that the rod and the staff comfort you if that's what he's doing with it. It comforts you because the rod was never intended for you. It was intended for the wolf. Let me say it this way, the wolf is not afraid of you. And if it was just you out there as the sheep out in the pasture by yourself, the wolf would come and get you and your lunch just like that, buddy, you know. And so what he's afraid of is the shepherd, because the shepherd has the staff and the rod. And so he's where you are, and Jesus gets in between you and the wolf, in between you and your problem, in between you and your obstacle, in between you and the enemy, and the rod wasn't used for you. And so on behalf of every person, every church, and every pastor that's beat you up and told you that God's mad at you all the time, I apologize on behalf of them. The rod and staff comfort us because he's not hitting us. He's hitting the devil, and he's protecting you. And so Jesus put it this way. He says in John chapter 10, he goes on to say, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's good. And he lays down his life for you. I love the fact that he's defending us. His rod and staff comfort us. This psalm goes on to say that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, which is, it's kind of a weird phrase. I don't know if you ever thought about it. It's one of the strangest, in my opinion, phrases in the Psalms. So it describes basically a war. And what does God do? He puts a table with a cloth, bread on one side, salad on the other, drink on the other, candles in the middle. He sets it up with you. He sets up a table for you to sit down and eat while the war's going on around you. Why? Because he says, look, you can go sit down and just chill. Chillax. You're welcome. He didn't know that phrase. And so he says, I got this one. He says, I'm going to take care of this for you. And you say, well, I don't understand that. Well, everyone, it's happening to you right now. While you went to bed last night, while you're going to get up and after today's service and go eat some roast beef and talk about how well I preached today after the service. And while you do all that, there are people. While you eat at a table and sleep comfortably tonight, there are people on the front lines around the globe fighting for your freedom, fighting for your safety. And we thank God for them every day, and we thank you so much. But in the same way, Jesus does the same thing for us. That while the war is going on around us, he says, look, don't come fight, don't join. You sit down and eat. I got you. He prepares for us a table in the presence of our enemies, right where they are. And God is fighting for us. Your pastor is fighting for us. He's fighting for you. And the sixth thing is, and that is the shepherd blesses. Again, some of us grew up in environments where God was just mean. That you were told God's mad at you all the time. That God's not good, but he's after you. And he's going to get you if you don't do point number 1 through 10. And that you've been told maybe he's a withholder. I'm going to tell you, God is not a withholder. God is a giver, and he gives good things. And the psalm says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And David was convinced in this. It literally says that his goodness will chase you down. God's goodness will chase you down. He wants to be with you that much. In Hebrews chapter 13, in your notes, the verse for this point says, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And he says what he'll do. He says he'll equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so what's our response here? Well, there could be a lot of responses, but there's only one response to this. You know, if you use the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep, that if you were a sheep and the shepherd loves you enough to die for you, that he's got the rod and the staff that protects me, that comforts me, can you guess where you would be? You're not going to be on the fringe of the pasture, right by the fence, looking over and seeing where the next wolf is coming. If you're a sheep in his flock, you would push others out of the way to get to the shepherd. You're going to be the closest sheep to the shepherd. You're going to want to be right where he is. And so that's what your response should be. You ought to be right where Jesus is. And Jesus said it this way, know me. That's your point there. Know the shepherd. He says in John chapter 10, as Jesus' parable goes on, it says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Both ways. And that's not a word like mental, that you just know Jesus. You know what that word really is? Listen closely. It says, you know that the word know in the Greek is gnosko. And it literally means know. And it's the same word, really intimate here, where it says it's the same Greek word that means, it's the same word that used for the word know is in this passage, where it means a man knows a woman, where a woman knew her husband. Same word. In other words, that's an intimate term. There's nothing more intimate than the word that was used there in the Greek. We are to get close to him and love him, and he'll be the shepherd of our soul. And so in conclusion, I just want everyone to be still. I know that was the last part of your notes, but let's just pray together. And some of us are here right now that honestly, that's not you. You're not close to the shepherd. In fact, Jesus said we are like sheep who have gone astray to his own way. And today I want to give you an invitation to come close, to get back into the flock and know the shepherd intimately. And I'm not talking just about knowing a church flock or joining a church body, but I'm talking about joining the flock, capital flock, the church, the shepherd, the chief shepherd. To be in that intimate relationship with God, He wants you. He wants you to know Him in that kind of way, church. So today, with every head bowed and eyes closed, we're just going to pray for a moment. Will you do that? If you're here today and you say, Theron, I'm not in the flock right now. I've gone astray. And some of us have never been in the flock, have never been in it, or we may have gone astray. But you find yourself today away. So I want to invite you today to come home to the pasture. Come close. God's calling you. He wants you. And He loves you. He wants to be the pasture of your soul. The shepherd of your soul. So I want to invite you to come close to Him today and really know Him, not just mentally, not with just what you know about the book, but intimately in your heart. Gnosko. Close. And you may say, well, how do I do that? Well, it's simple. Commit your life to Him. Surrender the control. Just basically say that I'm not going to live my life for myself. I'm not going to go astray each to my own way. I'm going to submit myself under the care of my shepherd, my pastor, Jesus. And so here's my question. It's very simple. Who needs a pastor here today? And I'm not talking about a man. I'm not talking about a church. We're talking about Jesus. And you need that. And you want that, if I'm describing you. We're going to pray a commitment prayer and right where you're seated. I'm not going to call you up to the front or embarrass you or make you stand up. I just want to pray for you right where you are. And you say, that's what I'm ready to do. I'm ready to turn my life over to my shepherd. So every head bowed and every eye closed, if you say that that's you today, and we'd like to know if you want to be included in this prayer, if you wanted to just slip up your hand so I know who I'm agreeing with in prayer. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. All right, you can put this down. Let's pray together. If you lifted your hand, say, Jesus, be my pastor. Be my Lord. Today, I surrender the control of my life to you. Forgive me for going astray. Come into my life and make me brand new. With all of my heart, I'll serve you. Say this little phrase, I give you my life. And now, Lord, I celebrate the people who just made the most incredible decision of their lives. And God, I pray for every person in this room who needs a pastor. They're hurting. They're far away from the shepherd. They feel deserted, God. They're going through a difficulty. Lord, be the shepherd of their souls today. God, bring provision, restoration, guidance. Bring them life. God, just touch them a way that only you can. Protect them. Support them, I pray. We bless them with every good thing. And Lord, we give you all the glory for all that was accomplished today. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.